Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Jesus warns us in the parable of the wedding feast that many people will miss the kingdom of God, not necessarily because of being involved with sin, but simply because they were distracted from coming to the feast by all of their worldly interests. He lists that they were too busy, caught up in their business, in acquiring possessions, and in the everyday demands of family life. None of these things are sinful in themselves, and yet they served to distract them from attending God's banquet. In fact, most people miss the kingdom of God just because they are too busy with life to seek the one who truly is life. Join us in our quest to seek first the kingdom of God. Stay tuned to Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. I trust you've been learning a lot about putting to death the deeds of the flesh from our previous lessons. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "If anyone would come after me, let him pick up his cross and follow me." It's crucifying not only the sin that is in our lives, but also all the distractions which preoccupy us and prevent us from seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. As promised, I'm going to tell you a story today. It's from a book entitled Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. If you'd like to get a copy for yourself, you'll find it very inexpensively on Amazon, or you can get a free PDF download by going to our website. Just type in Sky Family and it will come right up. Now, we're going to head right into the story. This is called The Beggar Prince. In ancient times, an evil druid seethed with hatred toward a certain nobleman. The nobleman's wealth and power, however, prohibited any means of effectively warring against him. So the druid's cunning mind devised a cruel and devious plan to hurt his rival to the quick without open confrontation. Amidst his orbs and candles, he muttered an incantation and cast a wicked spell upon the son of the nobleman. The following day, as the child was brought to the city, he began to have a strange fascination with all that was around him. All the sights and sounds seemed to captivate him. He became so engrossed that he forgot what he was doing and slipped away unnoticed into the crowd. There, he met some beggar children, and after being mocked about his fine clothes, he took his royal garments off and laid them aside. Soon he began playing games with the street children, running, hiding, eating stolen fruit, until the spell of the druid worked its wicked magic, and the boy completely forgot who he was. He neither remembered where he was from nor who his father was. And eventually, he became as one of the street urchins, grubby, poverty-stricken, and completely obsessed with the small, mean pleasures of the beggars. Where he had once dined with crystal and fine china, he now sought a few beans dropped into his filthy hands. Now his father was grief-stricken and daily conducted searches of the towns and countryside. But the child's appearance was so altered as to make recognition almost impossible. One day the royal carriage passed by with the family crest on it. As the boy stared, it seemed to mean something to him, but it eluded him. He strained to remember the meaning of those symbols. But at that moment, he became distracted by a marionette playfully calling to him from a street theater. The fog then closed back over his mind, and he resumed his pastimes without another glance back. Unfortunately, this story can't have a happy ending because it hasn't ended yet. That child is you and me. We have an enemy who hates us merely because he passionately hates our father. And he has fashioned a spell over our minds to make us forget who we are, what we're doing, and who our father is. His spell is in the form of the passing pleasures of this world and the idle distractions that cause us to do just one thing, forget. The son in this story would have been joyously received, clothed in fine garments, and given a high place of responsibility if he could only remember who he was. And more than ever before, we live in an age where we are distracted to forget who we are in Christ. The devil has placed magic in those passing pleasures. They seem so enticing, so irresistible. But they are beautiful, sparkly baubles put in front of us to draw us away from our Father. Some seem harmless, not even sinful, but they all serve to distract us. Every now and then, something will come along, like the carriage with the family crest. It will be a scripture or a message that will stir us a little. We'll get uncomfortable and feel like we're starting to remember. Then, suddenly, we'll be distracted by the next release of our favorite game or movie, and the fog closes in again. Once again, we forget who we are and that we have a high calling and that we have a very special father. If the young man in the story never remembered who he was, he would end up dying a beggar. In the same way, if we follow the normal course, fill our lives with the pleasures and pursuits of the world, we also will die as beggars. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of the Father abides forever. However, if the Son remembers who he is, he will immediately be received, washed, dressed, given a responsible position. So our hardest work isn't the accomplishment of some goal in sports or scholastics. It is the diligent remembering of whose child we are in the midst of the city of destruction. And that is no small task, because the devil hates you and devises an infinite number of distractions to snare you. It's a full-time job to keep our sights on God, but the reward is immeasurable. Those who give in to the temptation of the exciting distractions find that instead of excitement and pleasure, they end up with a dull, drab life of complete emptiness and despair. But those who stay faithful and watchful begin drinking pure water from the river of delights, and in the end will have riches, honor, contentment, fulfillment, and will inherit eternal life. Let us remember who our Father is, that our family crest is the cross of Christ. Let it remind us that we have a high and noble calling as true sons and daughters of the King. As we begin to see the dangers that are inherent to worldly entertainment and all the distractions, it is our goal to offer assistance to those who decide that their eternal souls are worth whatever the price to ensure their safety. These distractions are the greatest threat to your relationship with God, because your thoughts are determined by the input you have during the day. Your thoughts determine what your relationship with God is. If your input is from secular music at work, from the TV and computer at night, these sources will provide all of your thought life. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Now, take this test for yourself. Think carefully about how much secular, ungodly media input you get during the course of a day, from music, movies, TV, computers, newspapers, magazines, games, and from the people around you. Next, think about how much godly input you get in a day, from reading the Bible, studying, from stimulating conversation and godly entertainment. That should make you think, shouldn't it? If you are an average Christian in the Western Hemisphere, you probably receive at least 6 to 10 hours or more of actual ungodly input during the day. During the same day, you probably don't receive any godly input. Godly input is reserved for church on Sunday and the occasional midweek service. Even if you are involved with your church, so to speak, how much time do you actually spend seeking God on your own? And how much of your church time is in activities as opposed to actually focused on the lessons of Jesus? Probably very little. Let's consider that everything we see and read and listen to acts like a little seed that is planted into our life. Those seeds grow up and produce a harvest that is of the same nature as the seed. Like produces like. Now, let's consider that these seeds grow up slowly, not overnight, so that the evidence of the type of seed is not really seen except over a period of a few years. What type of harvest can you expect to see? let's carefully consider the words of Paul in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. For do not be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. The one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. Sowing to the flesh is nothing more than doing all the things that you enjoy during your everyday life, the things that you spend all your time doing, the things that captivate you and that you devote your attention to. That is the flesh. And as you spend all your time sowing to the flesh, the result is that you will reap corruption. And we must go out of our way to sow to the Spirit. That is to seek after the things of God, to seek first the kingdom of God, and then we will reap life. Every day from the time we wake up until we go to bed, we are planting seeds. We are either sowing to the flesh or we are sowing to the Spirit. There's no middle ground and no way to just exist. At all times, we are sowing seeds. God's word will not be mocked and will not return void. It is unfailing and unstoppable. So all that we do in the course of a day is either filling us with corruption or it is filling us with holiness. We are very much like the young man in the story because our distractions serve to make us forget these very words I'm saying now and the scripture that I just read. Even now, these words may be provoking some uncomfortable thoughts because deep inside we know that they are right. But we are so steeped in our pastimes that it seems too hard to think about. All it will take for some is to go home, pop on a movie, turn on the game, and all the discomfort will leave. You will simply forget that your soul is at stake. Remember the marionette in the story. It is so much easier to relax than it is to cling to the knowledge of the truth. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life." The pleasures and comforts and pastimes of this world pleasantly numb us to all that pertains to God. It is the broad way that leads to destruction. It makes the things of God seem far away and difficult to obtain. They act the same as sin because they get a hold of us and we can't let go. As we mentioned, a distraction is every bit as good as a sin because both keep us from seeking God. And seek God we must if we value our soul. If we have, like most others, been planting years and years of bad seed, we can expect to reap a harvest of corruption. That corruption is already at work in us to make the things of God seem foggy and distant and unclear. It has already worked its evil magic into every part of our life and our thoughts. We are hopelessly ensnared and can't get out without the supernatural intervention of Jesus. It requires that we earnestly seek Him as though our very lives depend on it. In our next lesson, I'm going to go over a support mechanism, a support fellowship that we have. It's called the Fellowship of the Unashamed, and it's all about us helping one another to remember the things that are vitally important and to stay on that narrow road that leads to life. It is really the heart of our whole ministry. It's the Fellowship of the Unashamed, people joining together to say, I'm going to seek the Lord first. I'm going to get out of the world and get the world out of me. This is the type of determination that we need, and I can't wait to tell you more about it next lesson. We see with various groups, for those who are alcoholics, that it really helps them to have the fellowship of others who are in recovery, who are getting out of it. And so it also helps for us to know that there are others who are really striving to get out of the world and to stop sowing to the flesh, to start sowing to the spirit, that we might reap life. So please join us for the next lesson, where I will go over in detail what the fellowship of the unashamed is, how to become part of it, and what it means to your relationship with God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray you would open every one of our eyes to the distractions that keep us from seeking you as we should. Please open our eyes and our hearts to understand how deadly our distractions are if they keep us from seeking you as we should. Lord, I pray you would do a great work of revival in each one who is listening, that you would do a great work of personal renewal, personal revival, Lord, and that revival will spring up everywhere, one here, two there, Lord, as people get serious with you, as they allow you to take hold of every part of their being. I pray for your blessing on each one in Jesus' holy name. Amen. We look forward to getting together with you next lesson. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitefield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
This song is from the Sky Family. It is available as a download from the Sky Family website.
For a place she could call
like Esther. We